Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're going deep into something most of us probably haven't heard much about, metabolomics.
Yeah, it's a pretty cutting-edge area of research.
And we're looking specifically at this study in eBiomedicine called Untargeted Metabolome Atlas for Sleep-Related Phenotypes in the Hispanic Community Health Study Study of Latinos.
Quite a mouthful, huh?
It is, but it's super fascinating. Basically, we're going to see how our sleep patterns, you know, good or bad, show up in our blood chemistry.
Yeah, you could say it's like looking for clues or maybe chemical fingerprints.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Chemical fingerprints left behind by our sleep habits. Mm. So before we get into the study itself, can you give us a quick rundown on what metabolomics actually is?
Sure. Think of it this way. You know how a regular blood test checks for specific things like cholesterol?
Right.
Well, metabolomics is like analyzing hundreds of tiny molecules, these metabolites, all at once. It gives you this incredibly detailed snapshot of what's going on in your body, right down to the molecular level.
So instead of just a few data points, it's like getting a panoramic view of your health.
Exactly. It could reveal all sorts of things, what you've been eating, how stressed you are, even how well you're sleeping. And this study is using that power to see if we can understand and maybe even treat sleep disorders better.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, this study used data from the Hispanic Community Health Study, right?
Yeah, the HCHS.
With over 6,000 participants. That's huge. What aspects of sleep were they actually looking at?
Oh, they covered pretty much everything. Sleep duration, of course, but also insomnia symptoms, sleep disorder breathing, sleep timing, heart rate while you're asleep, even daytime sleepiness.
They really went all out. And with over 700 metabolites measured, I can't even imagine the amount of data they had to sift through.
It was a massive undertaking, for sure.
So what were some of the things that jumped out at you from the findings?
Well, one of the big surprises was that not all sleep problems are created equal, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Some of them had way more connections to changes in those metabolites, those chemical fingerprints, than others.
Really?
Like heart rate variability during sleep. That was a big one. They found that changes in heart rate variability were linked to all kinds of changes in other metabolites, like carbohydrates, vitamins, lipids, even peptides.
So it's not just about how many hours you sleep, but what your body's doing during sleep.
Exactly. The quality of your sleep matters just as much, if not more.
That makes you think, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What about those of us who are natural night owls but forced into a 9-to-5 schedule?
Well, and that brings us to another interesting finding, sleep timing. When you sleep seems to be just as crucial as how long you sleep.
Wow. So messing with our natural sleep rhythms could have a bigger impact than we realize.
It really highlights how important it is to be in sync with your body's natural clock.
Totally. Now, you mentioned that not all sleep problems had strong links to metabolites. What about sleep disordered breathing, like sleep apnea? That seems like it would be a big deal.
You'd think so, right? But it actually had fewer links than we expected.
Huh. That's interesting. Why do you think that is?
Well, researchers are speculating that maybe our current ways of measuring sleep disordered breathing aren't capturing the whole picture.
Like we're missing some vital piece of the puzzle.
Exactly. And that's where metabolomics could really come in handy. It might reveal subtle changes that traditional methods just overlook.
Okay, let's get into the specifics. What were some of the most interesting metabolite connections they found?
Well, there was one that really stood out, glycoconodeoxycholate. Say that 3 times fast.
I don't even want to try.
It's a bile acid, yeah. You know, usually involved in digestion.
Right.
But they found that it was linked to sleep quality.
So, our gut health could be playing a role in how well we sleep.
It's looking more and more likely. There's a definite gut-sleep connection we're just starting to understand.
That's wild. And I bet there are a ton more connections we haven't even discovered yet.
Oh, absolutely. We're really just at the beginning of this whole field of research.
Okay, so another one they found was vonelimandelate, or VMA.
Yeah, VMA. That one's connected to stress hormones.
So could it be that sleep problems and stress are literally leaving a chemical mark on us?
It's possible. We can't say for sure that it's cause and effect, but there's definitely a strong correlation there.
It makes you wonder what other hidden connections are waiting to be uncovered.
It really does. Now, speaking of connections, we have to talk about N-lactoil amino acids.
Okay. N-lactoil amino acids. Those are new to me.
They're relatively new to science in general, but they're popping up in diabetes research because they're linked to energy metabolism.
So there could be a connection between sleep, metabolism, and conditions like diabetes.
That's what the research is suggesting.
Wow. These tiny molecules are packed with information. But with so much data, how did they even make sense of it all?
That's where the network approach comes in. They took all this complex data and turned it into a network, a map of how sleep and these chemicals are all connected.
So instead of looking at each thing in isolation, they created a visual representation of how everything interacts.
Exactly. And this revealed some really cool things, like neighborhoods of metabolites that work together.
Neighborhoods of metabolites. I love that. What else did this network approach show them?
It showed them which sleep factors these neighborhoods were most closely linked to. And they found that certain groups of metabolites, like lipids and amino acids, had these key players.
Key player.
Yeah, metabolites that seem to influence multiple sleep factors at once, like central hubs in the network.
So like a control center for sleep.
You could think of it that way, yeah.
Okay, I think I'm starting to get the big picture here. But why does all this even matter to us, you know, the average person? Why should we care about these findings?
That's a million-dollar question, right? Well, for starters, this research could totally change the way we understand and treat sleep disorders. Instead of just focusing on how many hours you're getting, imagine being able to identify problems early on just by looking at these metabolic markers.
That would be amazing. Like a warning system for sleep problems.
Exactly. We could intervene before things get worse, and we could even start to personalize sleep recommendations based on your unique metabolic profile.
So no more one-size-fits-all sleep advice.
Precisely. It's all about understanding how your individual body works.
That's incredible. Now, I know this research is still in its early stages.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But what can our listeners do right now to improve their sleep based on what we've learned so far?
The biggest takeaway is pay attention to your body's signals. It's telling you what it needs. If you're always tired, if you need caffeine to get through the day, those are signs that something's not right with your sleep.
So listen to your body.
Absolutely. And don't be afraid to make changes to your routine. Make sleep a priority, not an afterthought.
Okay, so before we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I want to circle back to one of those specific metabolites, glycoconodeoxycholate. What do you think its link to sleep quality means for our listeners?
Well, it opens up a whole new area of exploration. Could people with digestive issues be more prone to sleep problems? And what about the role of diet? Could certain foods be influencing these metabolites and affecting our sleep?
It's like a whole new world of questions.
Exactly. And hopefully, as we learn more, we'll find some answers.
Okay, so let's move on to the network approach. Can you explain that in a way that everyone can understand?
Sure. Think of it as a map. Each metabolite and sleep factor is like a point on the map, and the lines connecting them show how they're all related.
Like a roadmap of sleep.
Exactly. And by looking at this map, researchers can see which metabolites are acting like central hubs, influencing multiple sleep factors at once.
So by targeting those hubs, we could potentially improve sleep in a more targeted way.
That's the idea. It's like finding the control panel for sleep and figuring out how to adjust the settings.
This has been incredibly insightful. We've gone from barely knowing what metabolomics is to understanding how it could totally change the way we approach sleep.
Pretty cutting stuff.
But before we move on to the next part of our deep dive, I want to leave our listeners with this question. If our bodies are constantly producing these chemical signals based on how we sleep, what can we do to actively participate in that conversation? What can we do to make sure our bodies are getting the message that sleep is a priority?
That's a great question to ponder. It really makes you think about the power we have to influence our own health, even at the molecular level. Yeah, it's like our bodies are sending out these little coded messages, and we're finally starting to crack the code.
And what's even cooler is that this study focused on the Hispanic Latinx community.
Right.
That's a population that's often underrepresented in research, so it's really valuable to have this data.
Absolutely. It helps us create a more complete picture of how sleep works in different groups of people.
Now, I want to go back to that network idea for a second.
Sure.
Can you help us visualize it? Like, what does this network actually look like?
Okay, so imagine a big spider web.
Okay, got it.
Each point on the web is a metabolite or a sleep factor. And all those threads connecting the points, those are the relationships between them.
So it shows you how everything is linked together.
Exactly. And researchers use computer programs to map all this out, so they can see patterns that wouldn't be obvious just by looking at numbers.
Oh, that makes sense. It's like taking a big tangled mess and organizing it so you can see the connections.
That's a great analogy. And what they found is that some metabolites are like central hubs in the network, influencing lots of different sleep factors.
Ah, so they're kind of like the key players.
Exactly. Those are the ones that researchers are really interested in because they might be the key to developing new treatments.
So if we can figure out how to target those hubs, we might be able to improve sleep in a much broader way.
Exactly. It's like finding the master switch that controls a whole bunch of things.
Okay, so let's go back to those specific metabolites we talked about earlier. We were talking about glycoconodeoxycholate and how it might be linked to gut health.
Right, right.
Are there any other metabolites that stood out to you?
Yeah, there's one called indole-3-propionic acid, or IPA for short.
Okay, IPA. What's special about that one?
Well, it's produced by the bacteria in our gut, and it's been linked to things like antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties.
Wait, so good gut bacteria can actually help us sleep better?
That's what it looks like. They found that people with higher levels of IPA had better sleep quality.
Wow. It's like our gut bacteria are our secret sleep allies.
You could say that. It really shows how important it is to take care of our gut health. It's not just about digestion. It's connected to so many other things.
It's like everything in our bodies is connected.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of connections, I want to talk about heart rate variability during sleep.
Oh, yeah, that's another fascinating area.
Can you remind everyone why that's so important for sleep?
Sure. Heart rate variability, or HRV, is basically how much variation there is in the time between your heartbeats. A higher HRV means your nervous system is more flexible and adaptable, which is a good thing.
So it's a sign that your body is able to relax and recover properly.
Exactly. And they've found connections between specific metabolites and HRV during sleep. For example, higher levels of kynurenine, which is involved in inflammation, were linked to lower HRV.
So inflammation might actually be disrupting our sleep.
It's definitely a possibility.
Yeah.
And it just highlights how important it is to address inflammation as part of a holistic approach to sleep health.
It's like a domino effect.
Yeah.
Inflammation can throw off your sleep, which can then affect your metabolism and so on.
Exactly. It all comes back to that interconnectedness we were talking about.
Okay, so this is all super interesting, but let's be real here. Most people can't just go out and get their metabolomes analyzed.
Yeah, that's true.
So what are some practical takeaways from this research? What can our listeners do in their everyday lives to improve their sleep based on what we've learned?
Well, first and foremost, pay attention to your body's signals.
Always good advice.
If you're constantly tired, if you're relying on caffeine to get through the day, that's your body telling you that you need to prioritize sleep.
Okay, so listen to your body. What else?
Make sleep a non-negotiable part of your routine. Just like you schedule time for work and exercise, schedule time for sleep, and stick to it as much as possible.
So those classic sleep hygiene tips still apply?
Absolutely. Things like consistent sleep and wake times, a relaxing bedtime routine, a cool dark bedroom, those are all still super important.
Now, we talked a lot about the gut-sleep connection.
Right.
Does that mean there are certain foods we should be eating or avoiding to improve our sleep?
Well, this particular study didn't look at specific diets. But based on what we know about the gut microbiome, it makes sense to focus on foods that support gut health.
Like what?
Things like fiber, prebiotics, and probiotics.
Yeah.
So load up on those fruits, vegetables, and fermented food.
Sounds delicious. And on the flip side, are there any dietary villains we should be watching out for?
Processed foods, sugar, and saturated fat. Those can contribute to inflammation and disrupt gut health. So it's a good idea to limit those as much as possible.
So it all comes back to those basic healthy habits, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Eat well, exercise regularly, manage stress, and prioritize sleep. But now we have a better understanding of why those habits are so important. It's not just about feeling good. It's about supporting our bodies at the molecular level. It's like we're getting a glimpse into the inner workings of our bodies, and it's pretty amazing.
Totally agree. It really is. And to think, we've only just scratched the surface of what metabolomics can tell us about sleep.
Yeah, there's still so much more to learn.
What was the biggest aha moment for you in this whole deep dive? What really stuck with you?
That's a good question. I think for me, it was realizing just how much our sleep affects everything else in our bodies. It's not just about feeling rested,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
It's about these intricate processes happening at the cellular level, affecting our metabolism, our stress response, even our gut health. It's all connected.
Yeah, that interconnectedness is really mind-blowing. This deep dive has definitely made me rethink my own sleep habits. So where do we go from here? What does the future hold for sleep research and medicine based on what we've learned about metabolomics?
Well, this study is really just the beginning, a jumping off point.
Right.
We need more research to really understand all these connections,
yeah,
especially in different populations.
Of course, yeah.
But imagine a future where you could go to the doctor, get your metabolome analyzed, and they could give you personalized sleep recommendations based on your unique profile.
Whoa, that would be incredible.
Right. You would be like a sleep prescription tailored just for you.
That's the dream. So until we reach that point, what can our listeners do today to improve their sleep based on what we've learned? Any practical advice?
Well, I think the most important thing is to really pay attention to your body. What signals is it sending you?
Yeah, what are those cues telling us?
Exactly. Are you waking up feeling groggy?
Yeah.
Do you need caffeine to function throughout the day? Those are signs that your sleep might not be cutting it.
Okay, so listen to your body. Don't ignore their signs. What else?
Make sleep a priority. It's not a luxury. It's essential for good health.
I think a lot of us struggle with that, though. We're so busy, it's easy to let sleep fall by the wayside.
I know it's tough, but we have to shift our mindset. Think of it as an investment in your long-term well-being.
An investment in a healthier, happier you. So true. Now, what about those nights when you just can't seem to shut your brain off? Any tips for dealing with those racing thoughts?
Having a relaxing bedtime routine can make a huge difference. Dim the lights, put away your electronics, take a warm bath, maybe read a book, or listen to some calming music.
Ah, so those classic wind down techniques still work.
They do. It's all about signaling to your body that it's time to rest.
Makes sense. Now, I know some of our listeners might be wondering about those specific metabolites we talked about. Is there anything we can do to influence their levels, or is it all just genetics?
Well, genetics definitely play a role, but our lifestyle choices, especially our diet, can have a big impact on our metabolic health.
So what we eat affects how well we sleep.
Exactly. Like we talked about before, a diet that supports gut health with lots of fiber, prebiotics, and probiotics could also have a positive effect on those metabolites linked to sleep quality.
Okay, so it's a holistic approach. Sleep hygiene, diet, it all works together.
That's right. It's all about creating a healthy internal environment that supports restful sleep. And as we continue to learn more about metabolomics, we might even find more targeted ways to optimize those chemical conversations happening within us.
That's super exciting.
It is. But for now, I think the biggest takeaway is this: sleep is powerful.
It really is.
It affects us on such a deep level. And by understanding that, we can start to make choices that support our sleep and ultimately our overall health.
I think that's a perfect note to end on. This deep dive has been absolutely fascinating. It's amazing to see how something as simple as sleep can have such a profound impact on our well-being, right down to those tiny molecules. So, to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this journey. We hope you've learned something new and are feeling inspired to make sleep a priority. Until next time, sweet dreams.